Fasten your seatbelts. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, in the context here, Paul talking about, no doubt, faith and the sacrifice that Jesus has given for us. And one thing he says when he gets to verse 35 is, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. In other words, you're going to be rewarded for your faith and your actions and your relationship to God. But he goes on to say, for you have need of what? He says patience in the English version here. We know it to be endurance. For you had need of endurance or patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, I mean, after you've done the will of God, I think he's talking about in the context because of the afflictions and things that you're going through. You know, you got to respond to the will of God in tribulation as much as anything. And so I think in the context you can apply that. If you do the will of God as you know is right to do in your trials and tribulations, then you will receive the promise, because we're all waiting for something, aren't we? Okay. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So what I want to do this morning, I got one more. Patience and endurance on trial. Are you guilty? Are you guilty of being patient? Are you guilty of being one who endures through the difficulties and hardships of life? Nobody wants to plead guilty. That's one thing you need to be guilty of. So when we look at this, we begin to understand something, I think, that faith is the most important subject in all of the Bible. If you have faith in Christ and faith in all of his promises and his word, then you live by that. For the just shall live by faith. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, as we walk by faith, not by sight. We're very familiar with that. At least I hope we are, after all these years. So over and over again, we realize, I mean, Romans 1:16 says again, the just shall live by faith. So there are many words used in the Bible that are inseparably related to the subject of faith. And one of them could be endurance, confidence, or you could use perseverance, making a good confession. You can say a lot of things about faith because they go together. Obedience goes with it too, I believe, because obedience is part of our faith. But again, I mean, we find that sometimes that people don't have the endurance that they're supposed to have. And without endurance, faith has no ability to stick to it. Without the patience that is translated here, I mean, people just don't stick with it. They kind of give up, or they just let go of things. They get tired of waiting, we would say. So the devil in the world hate faith, and religion does a lot of times too. They don't like the subject, and they become hostile towards it because of whatever. I mean, they reduce faith to a creed or religious actions that they are involved in a particular church. It's all it is. It's just something that they do because the church tells them to do it. And it's really not something that's in their heart. It's not something that motivates their whole life. And so, but faith, in my way of looking at it, is a personal relationship with a living God. It's personal. For every individual in here, it's not your father's faith or your mother's faith. It's your faith. And you, I mean, it's good to talk to your mother and father about your faith, but you know what? Their faith is not your faith. It's good to talk to your pastor about your faith, but his faith is not your faith. It's something that's very personal. And if you're not sure about what you believe, then you need to learn to get settled and clear in your own mind. I mean, you know, you can go ask your mom and daddy about it, or you can ask another person about it, but then you just go off and you begin to be like them. And that's not good, because it should be something that becomes personal to you. Because if it doesn't come personal to you, then it's something that the devil can rob from you. Because when you have something that's very personal, it becomes a personal subject, a personal matter. and the devil is going to fight you all the way, folks. So the Christian, every Christian here fights and battles doubt, fear, worry. Do we not? Yes. And we fight confusion. We fight a lot of different things in our life. I'm sure we fight we go through a patience, of endurance. And that's a lot of problems. There's many enemies in his face. So everything one Christian needs to understand is endurance. And endurance or patience will be tested as much as anything. Because that's what the devil fights us at, because that's where we are standing at this particular point in life, because we're waiting for the end. We're enduring. We're persevering. And there's where the devil comes in and tries to, put all kinds of obstacles in our way and tries to tempt us and lure us away or talk us out of our faith, or why don't you give up? It's too hard. It's too difficult. I mean, you know the scenario. I mean, that's there for all of us. And it's something we go through, and it becomes very personal at that level, because the devil wants you to give in. He wants you to quit. So again, you understand this meaning. I hope you do, because Matthew 24:13 tells us, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." And so the implication is, in my mind there, if you don't endure or persevere or stick it out, it's not going to be good at the end for you, because that means you'll be given up, and that's what you don't want to do. Hebrews 12:1 tells us here that about in the context of this whole thing of Hebrews 10:11, "Wherefore, seeing we are also surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses," that is all the people that have gone before us in Hebrews 11, "let us lay aside every weight, the things that are obstacles in our life, and the sin which does so easily beset us or surrounds us, and let us run again with patience or endurance the race that is set before." So we're in an arena setting. We're running a race. And you know what you've seen runners before in an arena, running the 440, 880, or a mile, whatever they run. You've seen that before. And it's quite a task. And you see that they can't run with heavy weights on them. They can't run with something that's bogging them down. So the analogy here is, if a Christian, if he's got things that are encumbering him, things that are on his mind, things that are weighing down his spiritual life, weighing down his thoughts, I mean worry and fear and things like that, if those things are weighing him down and keeping him back, he's not going to perform very well. Is that not true? And so you've got to learn to lay aside those things. Because if you don't, they're going to begin to cause you to give up. So the word race is speaking of, it's the Greek word agon, which is talking about a contest. So you're in a contest to make it through the end. I mean, we're running in a race. And so when we look at this, he says in Hebrews 10:36, it's something we have what? We have need of. For you have need of patience or endurance. How many of you are willing to admit this morning that you need patience? Well, that's why I'm teaching on it, because my wife told me the other day I need to be patient. And I started thinking, that's a good subject. I think I might talk about it. Lo and behold, I am. She was telling me my daughter was going to be coming by. I ought to wait. I was getting ready to leave. And I said, well, how long is she going to be? Well, she's on her way. So I went back upstairs, came back down, sat down a minute, and tried to kill the time. And, my legs wanted to go and my feet wanted to go. I wanted to go. So I said, I'm going to go. And so I was going down the road, and I called her first, to see where she was. I didn't get any answer, and I got to the post office, and the phone rang. And it was my daughter. She said, where are you? I said, I'm at the post office. She said, you called? And I said, yeah, I did. Where are you? Oh, I'm over here at my husband's work. I said, oh. So that was quite a ways away, and my wife was telling me to wait. I think I had a little sense that maybe I was going to be waiting a little too long. Now, how many of y'all like to wait? Nobody raised their hand. I meant you look at that. I mean, because we don't like to wait. We just don't like it. And so the Greek hupomone means, it's a compound word. It's translated patience. It's translated suffer, but there's something else interesting about this word that I've been curious about for a long time, okay? Because when you look at this word, Thayer's definition of it is steadfast, constancy, or endurance. But it says this: a patient, steadfast, waiting for. And when you look in the dictionary, you'll find Greek dictionary, you'll find the word, if you look up this word right here that's in Hebrews 10:36 and click it on, because you got a computer, it'll come up as patience, and it'll come up in the Greek. It's used 29 times as patient. It's used 2 times as patient. 1 is continuance, and 1 is enduring. And so my mind, I started going off and thinking, now why in the world are they translating this word patient all the time? That's a curious thought. Well, I go back to this one thing that he says here, because I think in their mind they were seeing something that we don't see. A patient, steadfast waiting. So that's where we're going. Waiting. Because all of us here are waiting for something. We're waiting for the Lord. I mean, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, I think it's probably the best translation you have of this. Because you got to remember that when these people translate, they took various books and individual would translate it. Verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians 3. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God, so God's going to also direct your heart not only into the love of God, but into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, they bark together. Patient waiting. Now, how many of us really think about that? How long will it be before he comes? We really don't know. We have no idea. We all believe in the rapture. Anybody deny that? The only problem we have with that is one word called timing. Because people argue over the timing. Is it pre-rapture? Is it mid-tribulation? I mean, when is it? You know, as far as the pre-wrath rapture or the pre-tribulation rapture, they both have good points when you look at the Bible. But the whole thing comes back to this. You know what? Doesn't make any difference, because we got to do one thing. We got to continue to wait. And if we don't like waiting, we're not going to do very well. I guarantee you that. And so we find here, again, looking at Noah Webster, I went over to Noah Webster's dictionary because I have a lot of confidence in him, because he often puts the Greek word or the Hebrew word in there. He speaks of it in one sense, the act of quality of waiting long for justice or an expected good without discontent. So we're waiting for an expected good, expectation, hope, aren't we not? Without what? Discontent. Or frustration, things that get in our life. Matthew 18, it says, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And so, again, you look at this, and then I went and looked at the word wait. Okay, and this is Noah Webster also. To stay proceedings or suspend any business in expectation of some person, event, or the arrival of some hour. Well, we've been to that, haven't we, before? So we all have to wait, folks. We all have to be patient. But none of us, if we're honest with ourselves, really like to wait. It always becomes a problem in our life. So we could basically say in this word here, when we're talking about, we know the word hupo means to be underneath or below. It means to, and the word mone means to stay or abide or remain, continue. Or we can put in there wait. So you're underneath something, and you're under difficulty, under pressure in life, but you know what? You have to remain steadfast, or you have to wait. You have to wait for the trial to finish. The hardest thing to ever do is to wait for, if you're going through a physical trial, is to wait for the pain to go. Wait for the relief to come. You got to keep waiting for it. Because if you get tired of that, then what's going to happen? You're going to become discontent and frustrated. All the other things begin to come in, the doubts, the arguments. Oh, what's the use? I mean, it just starts to happen. But we all have to wait. I mean, have you ever been shopping with your wife? None of y'all been shopping with your wife? Or maybe we need to give y'all a $50 bill and say, take your wife shopping. Oh, they want that, yeah. But you know what? Many times I've been in the shopping center, and I remember a salesman would come, sales lady would come up to me and say, "Can I help you?" I said, "I'm looking for the hardest thing in the world to find." She said, "What is it?" I said, "My wife." I said, "We came here together, but she's going a separate way, and I'm waiting, trying to find her." And she kind of looks at me perplexed and all, but that's the truth. Because it becomes a very hard thing. Or you sit outside and say, "Oh, I'm going to the grocery store. I'll just be a couple minutes." And you sit there, and I mean, the car is idling, and the air conditioner is running, and the gas is burning. And you're sitting there thinking, "Where is she at? She just run in to get a loaf of bread or whatever. Just a simple thing." Then all of a sudden, here she comes out. After, look at your watch, it's been 30 minutes. And you were going to be just a what? A minute? So 60 seconds turned into what? I mean, 30 times 60? So there you going all that time. And I said, "Well, what happened?" "Well, I ran into Gloria or Irma or Ann." "Yeah, sorry, but you know what that means? I ran into somebody and started talking. And I couldn't get away, so now it's not her fault, it's their fault." So I'm going to play that card too the next time I go in a situation. And I'm going to say, "I ran into Patrick. And he just wouldn't stop talking." So I can do it too, right? So this is the problem. I mean, waiting, because we all go through that. I mean, have you ever waited for your husband to come home for dinner? I mean, you sit there, you got the meal cooked, and he said he's going to be home at, you know, 6, 6:30, and he doesn't come home, and it's 7 o'clock, and he's still not home. And you're thinking, "Now, this is not going to be a very good meal now, because, I mean, I spent a lot of time with it, but now it's sitting here, and it's not getting any better. It's getting dry. And he's going to complain about it when he gets home. And so you have to wait. So I a long time ago, I learned a lesson. My wife said, "What time will you be home?" I said, "When you see me." That was my answer, because I got tired of saying I'm going to be home, because I just always was late. So I came up with the phrase, "When you see me, I'll be here." Because that was the only way I knew to be able to give her a good answer from my standpoint, from my way of looking at things. She may not have liked it, but that's just the way I looked at it, because it was different. And how many of you are waiting for a loved one to be saved? Acts 16:31. How many of you believing? Yeah. So you're believing for somebody to be saved. But what are you doing meanwhile? Well, I'm complaining. I'm murmuring. I'm tired. This has been so long. When is this going to manifest? Are you guilty of this thing of waiting? Or are you guilty of impatience? Because one is good and the other isn't. But we get very impatient. We get tired of waiting. And we begin to make complaint with God. And we get ourselves into trouble. And so we've all been through this thing, the waiting time, the waiting period. And all of us are in this together as far as the coming of Christ for the church. We're all here. We all profess to be Christians, and we believe that the Lord's coming for the church, and one day it'll be a glorious, you know, taking away of the church, and things will be well. But you got to wait. You got to go through the difficulties, the hardships. You got to continue to put up with the government and with the world around you, with your enemies of faith. You got to continue to put up with people you work with that are unbelievers. I mean, we have to put up with those things, folks, whether we like it or not. Now, you got a choice. You don't have to like it, and you make a wrong choice. It can be harder on you, because God knows how to take that and use it for His good. And so we're talking about here, while we wait, we're going to face temptations, and we're going to face hardships. And so this is what endurance is about. So you have need of endurance that, you know, after you've done the will of God and praying for wisdom and asking God for help, because that's part of the will of God, because you shall go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. But you know what? We don't care about that. We just want it now. We got so used to the fast food restaurants. You know, you can pull into McDonald's, God forbid, but anywhere I go there to get iced tea. I got in there the other day. I was waiting in line. I mean, I was way back in line. All I want is iced tea. I don't know, they must be ordering 15 burgers and 12 fries and a milkshake or whatever. I mean, but it just kept going on and on and on. I'm thinking, all I want is an iced tea. $1.10. Big deal. You sit there and you're waiting and waiting, and then finally the cars start moving. But a lot of people were getting out of line because they didn't want to wait. I thought, I'm waiting this thing out. Then you get home and your wife says, where have you been? I've been sitting in the line at the slow food store. But it ain't fast food. I mean, you can go to, I could probably walk into somewhere like Cracker Barrel and get an iced tea quicker than I could at McDonald's sometimes. All the people waiting. So you're waiting and waiting and waiting. But this is the same thing for us in this spiritual atmosphere that we're in. That we're waiting for something good to happen, whether it's a promise we're waiting for God to manifest, or whether it's for somebody to be saved, or whether it's for your wife to come out of the grocery store, or whatever, waiting for your husband to come home for dinner. We're waiting. It's something it's a part of life. I mean, you might as well just get used to it. Maybe you are in business and you're waiting for somebody to pay their bill to you. That can get really interesting. Because I have to go through that sometimes because I rent out my barn for horses and sometimes they aren't on time. And you have to wait. Wait. And wait. And wait and wait and wait. But that's just the way life is, folks. So you have to get used to it. Because if you don't, then God's got something to talk to you about. You know, you look over in the Old Testament, Habakkuk. Chapter 2. Of course, the context of this is very important. Because if you know what's going on in Habakkuk, the prophet here is looking and he's seeing that there is the heathen. You go back to chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, behold, ye among the heathen, in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, the bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. So here comes the Babylonians, folks. They're coming. God is allowing this to happen. Here they come. They're coming. They are terrible and dreadful. Verse 7, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hastes to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity at the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them, and they shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Now this is the problem, because the prophet here is complaining about the Chaldeans who are coming, which God has basically allowed to happen. And now he wants to, the prophet is looking to God for information. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch, because that's what a prophet does. He's a watchman. So I will stand upon watch and set upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am approved. So he's going to complain to God and ask God, what's going on here? What's going to happen? And the Lord answered me. That's good. Now this is just like any trial we go through. We should be just like this prophet. We set a watch, we call upon God, and we let him know what's going on, and wait for the Lord to answer. Now, that can be a waiting time too. And he said, write the vision. Because this is a vision God's going to reveal to him. Because this vision is going to be something about future. And make it plain upon tables. In other words, write it out, that he may run and treadeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Now, we don't like that, do we? Because God has an appointed time for everything. So here he's told, Isaiah was told before about the captivity of Babylon, the destruction of Babylon, and now this event is something that's becoming very important to him, and it's by a vision. And he's saying, I want you to publish it. So why? You can transmit it to the generations to come so they can see what's going on. So the prophet must write the vision. And the people must read on, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, tarry, you know what that means, delays itself. Delay is not denial. So something, God is delaying it for a reason. I mean, he says, wait for it. Oh my goodness. Because it will surely come and will not tarry. Now we just read that in Hebrews also about the coming of the Lord. Same thing. So you have need of what? Patience. Need of endurance. So the prophet must not only write the vision, but he must wait for the accomplishment of the vision. Wait for it to come to pass. No, we don't like that. I mean, personally, in our own little personality and our makeup and all the little things we go through in life, you know, the mental battles, the hardships, the temptations, and on and on. So there's a point of time, but it's not near. It is yet to come. So God is delaying it, but it's not a denial. And the same thing applies for us in all of life. And so while we're fading, we find out we're going to face more difficulty because they're going to come. And we see now in our world that we live in a lot of chaos and confusion taking place. You know, people talk about the Muslims or Islam is coming here. Well, they're already here. And we don't know what's going to happen as of yet. Is God allowing that? Is that a judgment upon America? See, I look at it a little differently than some people do. I see it as a form of judgment from God upon America. And he's using it for his good. God can do that because he is God. So is God trying to tell us something through all me? He said, well, just, you know, be patient. Wait. I'm coming. And I guess that's why John said at the end of the book of Revelation, the Lord, come quickly. But you got to wait. It's not always easy. I mean, it's just like waiting for somebody to be saved. Well, but it's like waiting for your teenager to get ready when you're going to church. You know, she's going to dress. I mean, how many dresses does she try on? And then you're sitting out there, and you know, you're getting out in the car. You start the car. You're getting impatient. You start beeping the horn. And you think, I got to go in. So you go in there, and you look and say, what dress you got on now? How many have you tried on? Oh, this is the third, only the third one. Only the third one? I'll be out. I got to put my lipstick and make on. I'll be right out. Oh, my goodness. And so now here is, you got to wait longer. We're going to be late if you don't hurry up. Well, I'd rather be late and still look good than to be early and look bad. I mean, that's the way it goes, folks. So you're waiting for these things, you know, to take place. And here the clock is tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Time is going by. You know, that little hand just keeps on moving. I mean, you can look at it, you can stare at it if you want to, but that little second hand is just going tick, 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 tick. And then when it gets all around, the other one, the little minute hand moves one little click, and you think, oh boy, I got to wait how many more clicks? How many more cycles have I got to go through here before she'll be out here in the car? I mean, this goes on in life. But you know what? Wait. And your wife said, just be patient, be patient. So when you hear that word, be patient, think about wait. Think how many times you've had to wait for something in life. And because you wanted it bad enough, you were willing to wait. How many times you've been to the grocery store and you had to wait for the line to move? That could be excruciating. I mean, you go to a line, it says only 5 items, and the person in front of you has got 30. And then they put everything up there, and they're checking it all out. And then he says, okay, that'd be $49.50. For a quick checkout, $49.50. And then she says, I got to get my checkbook. She got to take a big 10-gallon bag out and find her checkbook. She goes through that and takes about 5 minutes to find her checkbook, and then she has to write the check out. She never thought to put it out ahead of time and write the check, so all she had to do was sign it. I'm hinting to all of you. Because that's a good thing to do. But this is the thing we go through, folks. Over and over again. So Matthew chapter 13 and verse 21 tells us. Similar to us. Same thing. Talking about here, verse 20. But he that receiveth the seed, that is the word, into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and with joy receiveth it. So this guy is glad he heard the word. Yet he hath no root in himself, so the seed did not take root. But he dureth for a while, or you can say he waited for a while, but then tribulation comes, thylipus, pressure comes, or persecution arises because of what? The word, and by he's offended, or he falls away. That's what Luke says, he falls away. So there's a falling away because he's not willing to wait. And this is what happened. People fail. When they don't wait, they fail. They're giving in to the pressures of the enemy. The devil's using it against you. And God is allowing it, folks. This is the hard part for us to accept. God is allowing that long line. God is allowing the difficult traffic that you're in and coming through the city and getting added into the country. He's allowing those things. And why is it? Because you need it. Well, he could have found a better way. Oh, you don't want the better way. He'd find, because that might mean chastisement. This form of chastisement is a lot easier to deal with than the other. And so why does this all happen? Because people cave in under pressure. They give in. That's the tendency for all human people. The personality, it depends on the personality. A person can be very stoic and very, you know, hard about things in life, but then even himself, you find that those people too have just as much difficulty with some things as others do. So it gets down to the heart in a man's relationship with God, because Christ causes things to happen in order to get our attention. I mean, God can cause people to lose friends, be rejected and be hated for whatever reason he may allow to happen. And you find that a lot of people get themselves into a tizzy about that. James chapter 5. He gives an example over here. James chapter 5. Verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for what? An example. A pattern. Of what? Of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Or this word here is macrothumia, which means long-suffering. Translate patience here. Behold, we count them blessed which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Oh boy. Would to God that we could be that way towards other people. But we're not. Sometimes it's like we are very harsh or indifferent, hasty to speak, get angry, upset, because things aren't happening the way we want them. Our little 2x4 world is not ticking on our clock. But God's still in charge of the clock, folks. He's still in charge of life and time. He created it all. He's in charge of it. He has a right to do anything he wants to. But let's remember what's at stake with all of this stuff. Your salvation. Matthew 24, verse 13. Because he that endures to the end or waits to the end, he will be saved. But if you say, I'm not going to wait for, you're waiting for a bus to come. And you, I used to, when I went to the private school, I had to go up, walk up to the bus stop every morning. Didn't cost but 15 cents. Get on the bus, get a transfer ticket. I had to go all the way up to Brooklyn Park Boulevard, get off, and had to go wait for another bus. And you know what? I got tired of waiting for that other bus, so I started walking. I could walk down to Fendall Avenue, take a right, and be at school before the bus ever came. But I got tired of waiting. I didn't like the walk that first one. It was too long. Because I would have to walk from the corner of Azalea and Brook Road all the way down to Brooklyn Park Boulevard. And that's a long ways. So I waited. So some things is more advantageous to wait for than other things are. Some things are easier to kind of give up on. And you don't wait. Now, all these men in James chapter 5 that he's speaking of, I mean, he says all of the prophets who've spoken in the name of the Lord. So that includes, I think, the whole cluster of prophets. You can take the major and the minor prophets. Choose what you will. Take them all. Take them as an example of patience, of endurance. Of course, he's talking about Job here. He uses, you know, you've heard of the patience of Job. Of course, Job wasn't what we would say patient in the sense of long-suffering, but he was one who endured. He held out. So they all suffered for their faith. They all went through something in their life. But the one thing they didn't do, didn't quit. They didn't give up. They were patient in a sense. They were waiting for God to fulfill his word to them that he had spoken. I mean, Jeremiah went through a lot of things. I mean, they took the word from him and destroyed. They put him into prison. They turned against him. I mean, he was hated. He was a preacher of righteousness. And yet he stuck with it. They didn't compromise under pressure. They stayed loyal. They were willing to wait it out. But we're not that way all the time, are we? I'm talking to you. We're not that way all the time. We're very quick to judge. We're very quick to come to a verdict on something or someone. Not willing to give a little space and time. We believe in to save somebody. And we're thinking, when are they going to get it? When did you get it? Mr. and Mrs. Smarty Pants, when did you get it? Did you get it right away? Well, I got it faster than they did. Okay, Mr. Proud. You know more than anybody else. But you know what? It took you time, too, to see the light. It takes them time to see the light, too. So we got to learn to be a little more patient and just wait for the Lord to work on that person's behalf. Because let me tell you something. If you believe God is sovereign, then let me ask you this question. Is God working? And are you believing for that person, that loved one? Then, all right, let's ask, is God working then to bring that to pass on your behalf? How do you know? By faith. That's all I know. I'm believing God to do it. Then while you're believing God, how about doing God a favor and yourself a favor and just be patient and wait? It takes a little time. We don't like that. So again, we find ourselves here. I mean, one of the main three themes of Hebrews is about our profession of faith and holding on and enduring in faith. I mean, look at Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So here we're down to inheriting the promises, but it's something that's got to come. Patience has got to come in. Now, this is a word, macrothumio, for long suffering. But that's still, I mean, you have to wait. You still got to wait for God to do what he promised he would do and to bring it to pass in a person's life. So, like Hebrews 10 says, if you've done the will of God, then God will bring it to pass after you've done the will of God. But if you don't hold out and wait, then that doesn't mean you're going to get anything. It means you're going to lose or you're going to fail. It's not going to work out because you become impatient. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and following, it tells us here about adding to our faith. I think most of us here learned addition in grade school. 2 Peter chapter 1, at least I hope we did. 2 Peter 1 and verse, let's see, for the precious promises. Then verse 5, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Uh-oh. So these things have to be added to your faith. I mean, you got to appropriate them into your life. And it's not an easy thing to do in our life. And so we find ourselves going through all of these things and we're not willing to wait because of whatever reason it might be for. Have you ever waited for a package to come that you ordered? I mean, you know, you get online, you order something, and it's going to come by UPS or FedEx or the parcel post. And you, every day you're waiting, you know, you look out there, where is the package? Where is the package? It's not at the post office. I wonder how they're sending it. Your UPS comes by, FedEx comes by, you see them going down the road. Oh, my package. No, they pass right by your place. And weeks go by. And then finally it comes. From China. By slow boat. Now, God allowed that to happen to teach you a lesson. Don't order anything from China, number one, and number two, learn to wait. And if you don't want it to, you know, if you don't want to wait for it to come from China, then don't order it. Forget it. I think we've all been in this scenario so many times in our life that we're so used to it and we've learned to just act a certain way and we don't stop to think of what we're doing. We just automatically kick it into impatience. We get frustrated and we want to waste some time because we're waiting and waiting. So we find something to do. Oh, I think I'll go over there and watch. There's a movie at the airport, I'll go watch a movie because it's going to take them 2 hours anyway, so you go watch a movie. Or you go shopping. You know, you want to just get the time by this. You're trying to make the clock move faster by wasting time. So, I mean, we've been through all this stuff. I mean, you ever been to an airport yet? I mean, we went to Jerusalem, and the worst thing in the world is when you go overseas because you've got to go through security. They're going to stop you. They want to look through all of your stuff. They want you to empty your pockets, take your shoes off. They're going to check out everything. Now, I got a little pin here I carry that it's all it is a pin. But I'd be scared to put that in the box because it's got a knife in it. Because, you know, it'll come up on the radar. Nobody knows that but me. Now you do. But, you know, we find ourselves all this time waiting for things, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's at the airport, going through the security line, waiting in a department store, waiting for the long line, especially around the holidays. Because, you know, they seem to hire only 3 people to work in a store where they got 1,000 people shopping, and they're all busy, 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 and you're trying to get through there, and you want to get the package and get out of there. You almost want to just say, here's $100. Give me a bag and get out of there. Keep the change. I mean, you feel that way sometimes. But see, that's just what you call impatience and foolishness. And that's the way we are. I think, you know, the worst thing sometimes to do is waiting for food in a restaurant when you're hungry. Ever been to one of those slow food restaurants? I mean, real slow. And you order it, and you wait and wait and wait. Well, I wonder when they're going to bring my meal. You could have played the game of checkers. That's why people pull out their phones, I guess, and start playing with their phones. And we're trying to get time by. They don't want to wait. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't want to wait, then maybe you ought to start going to McDonald's more. Maybe you'll get about in a long line, and you'll have to wait there too. Because they're not as fast as they say they are. Maybe you're waiting for somebody to apologize to you. I think they ought to apologize to me. Well, maybe they don't think they should. And how long is it going to take God to get their attention? 6 months? A year? 5 years? I don't know. But you're waiting for that apology. You're waiting for them to make a reconciliation. You think that they need to do that. Are you praying? Are you praying for them? Are you praying for yourself? Well, that's too much trouble. Yeah, that's right. I understand what you're saying. You know what? You need to get off alone sometimes and start seeking after the Lord, what He wants to do in your life. Now, I'll tell you what I think is probably the worst thing. It's an answering machine. And a long-winded message. And you pick it up and say, dude, hello, this is so-and-so. I just wanted to tell you about this. And boy, it's so nice outside today, isn't it? And well, let me get to my message. And they go on and they keep on talking and talking and talking. And then, dude, they cut off. Phone rings again. They leave. Oh, this is part two. I mean, this is really long-winded people now. And so they start leaving a little longer message. And they never get to their point. And you get off that, what did they just say? You walk around shaking your head thinking, oh, this is so confusing. Have you ever gotten one of those?
Yeah.
Okay. Not just me then. So I'm sure you all understand what I'm talking about here. But I tell you what. We got to remember what God is doing in our life, folks, because God is asking us to wait. And so I think that we have to think about the things that will be, look at Hebrews chapter 12. What does he say to do? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. So that's what we have to do if we want to be able to run this race and make it. We got to be willing to, you know, respond to what God is doing in our life in the waiting period. So whatever is weighing you down, a weight is not necessarily a sin. A weight is just some obstacle, something that's in your life. It could be something, a hobby, anything that's not what we would classify as sin. just for a particular thing in your life. It could be your job. Your job could weight you down. Your work at home could weigh you down. Busy around the house, busy working in the yard. I mean, it's weighing you down. It's really getting the best of you. But you're not dealing with the obstacles. So whatever obstacle you got in your way, you got to deal with it. And the sin. And I think the sin in Hebrews 12 is the sin of unbelief or rebellion. And we're probably all prone to that to some degree. And we find that works against us a lot of times. It doesn't work for our good. It certainly doesn't. But God is working everything together for our good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So God is allowing these things. We got to go back and remember that over and over and over. God is allowing it. Why is He allowing it? Because He sees that you need patience. It's that simple. He sees you need to learn to wait. And don't be so hasty. Don't be in such a hurry. Slow down. Life is flying by. So whatever is standing in your way, you got to just be able to say, I'm going to set this aside. Whether it's a hobby or whether it's some other thing that you're doing. But it's just standing in your way, keeping you from being able to endure, because that's what Hebrews 12 is telling us. Let us run the race with what? Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily surround us, and then run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we're not going to be able to run if we're weighted down. Whatever is holding us back, we got to be willing to move it out of the way. And if we're not willing to do that, then it's going to be a problem. And so we find that some people do fall away. They give in under pressure. But you know, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it's God who worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. But then it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it's your salvation. It's individually, personally, your salvation. So nobody's more concerned about salvation other than the person who is involved in it. I mean, it's a personal thing. So you're the one that's got to deal with that in your life. Another thing is 2 Timothy. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 4, which is it? Second Timothy chapter 4, yes. Okay, preach the word, verse 2, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, exhort with all, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come that will not endure sound doctrine. So, what about that? You know, a lot of people don't have sound doctrine. They're still in a state of confusion. They're not sure about things. But this is very important to the Christian life, because the stability of the Christian is the knowledge of his salvation. What does he believe? What does he believe about Christ? What does he believe about the inspiration of Scripture? What does he believe about the sovereignty of God? All of those things come into play in our life. What do you believe about God saving the sinner? I mean, do you believe God can save sinners? You got to, because you were one. And so if you believe those things, then because the doctrines that we believe have to be something that translate into practice. You got to learn to relate to them. Just as somebody related to you one day about, you know, you're a sinner. But how they approached you and the demeanor in which they did it is very important. Because I think if somebody came to you in a legalistic way and tried to hammer you over the head about getting saved, I don't think you would respond very well. But I think if somebody became very kind and gracious and was reaching out to you in long-suffering and with meekness and humility, trying to express to you the need of change in your life, I think it would make a difference. You know, a lot of people are chased away. They chased away about, legalism, and I would call it militant Christianity, where people are so hard. And we can be that way about certain things. I don't see anything wrong with that in any sense, but I think we got to remember, we make a distinction. We can be hard about things here because of our personal beliefs, but the way we go out and express those outside must be different. Because you can't go outside and confront a Muslim about his problems the way we would talk about them here. Because, he's not going to accept that. You're going to stir up trouble. And you could take that look. How are you going to deal with somebody that maybe is considering an abortion? You're just going to go up to them and tell them you're going to go to hell and, this ain't right? You're going to go up there and start battling with them and militantly telling them that it's wrong? You're just turning them off. There's a way to approach them. So, stop and consider what you're doing about this life. Aren't you thankful that your mother didn't give you up? And make them start thinking. Because once a person starts thinking, the wheels start rolling, you got them on the right place. And once you do that, then you're hopefully drawing them. Because doesn't it say in the Bible the Lord draws people to Him? And that tells me something about what we have to do. There's something about your life that draws people. It's your kindness, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your politeness, your friendliness. All those things draw people. But when you're different and hard, legalistic or militant and things like that, that turns people off. You might not like that, but that just, that's not my problem. That's your problem as far as I'm concerned. And so, it's important that we're warned about the last days, about the Antichrist that's coming. 2 Thessalonians tells us how he'll come and he'll be with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and how he'll not want the truth. And he'll deceive people and lure them away. And he says, because they love not the truth, therefore God turned them over to strong delusion. Because they didn't love the truth. Loving the truth is another story. Because if you love the truth, you're not going to be hateful with it. You'll begin to be able to express it in love. Because it's something that God has done to you. Doesn't it say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Then there's another part of this. We get into predestination and election. We don't know who's elected to be saved out there. But we do know this, just like it says in the book of Acts, that God has some people in that city. There's some out there that God has appointed to salvation. There's an appointed day. And that includes Muslims. That includes people that are feminists. That includes people who are homosexual. That includes all the people we don't like. That includes them all. God has tagged them for a day and time, appointed time. Their vision is written, folks, but you have to tarry. You have to wait. And one day, we will be surprised. I've said it before, I'll say it again. We're going to all get to heaven one day, and we're going to be surprised about some people that are there. And we're going to be surprised because some people aren't. And so, again, it comes right back to all of this about our being willing to wait on the Lord. Because over and over again, you find it over in Psalms chapter 76, I think it is, Asaph was going through a lot of trials in his life. Now, Psalm 76 and Psalm 73. But Psalm 76, verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. Oh boy. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. So this man's going through an overwhelming pressure in his life. Thou holdest my eyes waking. I am so troubled that I can't speak. You ever been that way? I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Now he's doing the right thing. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? He's asking questions. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Has he? No. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my weakness. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of the work and talk of thy doings. The way of God, verse 13, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? So this man here, Asaph, who was a prophet, when did he get his eyes opened? In the sanctuary. So he took time to draw away from everything and go be quiet before the Lord and to search his own heart with diligent search and ask some questions. And it woke him up. He began to see a different perspective of things. His whole attitude changed. His whole attitude changed. And then he says this in verse 14 and 15, "Thou art the God that doest wonders." See, he'd forgotten all of that. "Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." You redeemed them, Lord. And he goes on talking about the different things that God has done. And so you see where it happens, folks. The person here, he began to seek after the Lord. So we're warned over and over again about receiving a wrong spirit. Prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5. But hold fast to that which is good. So we have to really test things very carefully and only hold fast to that which is good. Because that's what's going to save us. That's what's going to help us get through. 1 John 4, 1 warns us about there be false prophets and false teachers. Antichrist spirit. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try," that is, "examine the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." So he's telling us here that we have to examine everything that we hear. And that includes among ourselves. We have to be very careful that we test them and examine them and see which spirit they're of. Are they of God or are they of another spirit? And you are responsible to do that as much as anybody. Because a man has to have a right spirit. And the Bible tells us about, you know, Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about how I would that you would bear with me a little in my folly, because there's some problems out there. There are people going around that are preaching wrong things. They're preaching another gospel. They're preaching another Jesus. That's 2 Corinthians. "And I would that you would bear with my folly a little bit," he says. So the Christian faith is based on the teachings of Christ. It's something we have to be very careful with, because there can be another Jesus out there. That's why we are so adamant about the denominations. But because we're adamant about the denominational system and the religious error that goes on there, because most denominations don't believe in the resurrection, a very high percentage of them don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in a virgin birth, which disqualifies you from being a Christian. You can't be it, because it says in 2 John, I mean, if you have not the doctrines of Christ, you have not God. That includes those things. That's serious stuff. A lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's what the Bible says, and we're just trying to get you equipped with the truth. But 1 Corinthians 15 tells us very clearly, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. It's not something that's just a entertainment thing, or, you know, you're pleasing everybody or tickling everybody's ears, which most people try to do. They mean they just want to get in there and tell you about love, 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 love. And I'm not against love, but it has to be taught right. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 2, he's talking about the gospel that has been preached unto you, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins. This is the gospel, according to the scripture. So he's talking about his death. And then he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And then he was seen of various different individuals. So that's his ascension and his resurrection. So he's telling, that's the gospel. And he's talking about that in the whole context of 1 Corinthians 15. So people who deny this or are skeptical about that are on the fence. They're not right with God. And I understand people being perplexed and trying to figure things out, because you can't figure it out with your mind, folks. You got to believe. You got to let God get to your heart. And so it's very important that we know what we do. We test all these things. And the reason we do that is because 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue or abide or stay with them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So how are people going to get saved? By staying with the truth. You don't win people by walking away from the truth or begin to relax it or compromise it. That's what causes people to leave. So again, you see the doctrine is very inseparably related to our salvation. Good doctrine. You cannot have false doctrine and be right with God, because it's a contradiction. But Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5. Let's read this context here, because there's one more thing that we see that will show us the test of our waiting. Because this is what God has done, folks, in our lives. Being justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So it's working something. And this patience is working experience. That's experience is a Greek word, dokimazo. So he's just simply saying here, this is something that's happening in your life that if you go through these tribulations, that it's working for your good. And hope maketh not ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So here we're talking, we look at this. What do you get out of that? I get this out of it. I get character. If God is working character in our life, that's a big thing. Because God wants to change us. Just because you got saved and repented doesn't mean that you're on the right track. But what makes a difference is the fact that you're still changing. Because change is something, it's an ongoing thing in a person's life. I know this one fact. When I got saved, when it first started with me, I began to change because I repented of the things I knew that I needed to repent of. I didn't know everything. But it seemed like all the time I turned around for the next few years, I was repenting, changing. Constantly changing. Constantly. Why? Because God would reveal. I just hear something. I didn't know that. And I go, I think, man, I got to get that right. So, you know, you don't know everything when you first get saved. But you learn more and more and more. And the more you learn, the more you begin to take on what God is saying. And you keep on changing. So it's a process. So we're going through this process like we talked about before. And it's a continual thing. It's uphill. It's downhill. But God is working in us to change us. That's the most important thing that's taking place in our life. And what's he want to do? The tribulations producing this endurance. And endurance, it says here, experience, or one translation says, proven character. In other words, your character is being tested out. Are you really who you say you are? Are you really honest? Are you really faithful? Are you really loyal? Are you really holy? Are you really righteous? Are you really a good person? Are you really, really that way? Or are you proud, arrogant, and hateful? I mean, this is what God wants to do in our lives. So we've all seen people who say they're with you, but then in time of trouble, they seem to go somewhere else. They're irresponsible. So God allows us to go through the trials to prove our character. James 1 says the same thing. James chapter 1. Knowing this, verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh endurance, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So God is after something. He wants you to come to the place you're a mature person. And verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, or that is, when he's approved, he shall receive the crown of life. So you don't receive the crown of life until God has a final say-so. So that means we got to go all the way through to the end, and God says, I approve of you. Can God at the end say, I disapprove of you? I never knew you. Depart from ye the work of iniquity. That's Matthew 7. You went to church. You prophesied. You did all these things. But at the end, God says, I never knew you. That is speaking to charismatics, I think. That's us. They prophesied. Did mighty things in his name. But he said, I did not approve of those things. I don't approve of you. That tells me you're disqualified. You don't get the crown of life. That's not a very pleasant thing to think about. But we're all coming to that. And we know what? We're waiting for that day. We all will be there, folks. And we're waiting for that announcement that'll be, you know, it's like graduation. You walk up with your cap and gown on and you come through there and he says, I don't know you. Depart from me, the work of iniquity. That's not going to be a very pleasant thing. So we've got to ask ourselves a question here. How well are we doing? Because the one thing that's important with all of this, I'll go back to it one more time. We've already talked about it, but is that Attitude. Attitude. Who you are as a person, your personality, your disposition, your makeup, how you respond to that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that's the question we all have to look at and ask ourselves. I mean, it's essential, because if we find ourselves in a place that, like what Psalms, Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in a day of adversity, your strength is small. So when adversity comes and you give in, you're not a very strong person. You're weak. Now, if we are tended to weakness, then the devil can play on that, and he can destroy us and rob us. So we need, more than anything, we need what Hebrews 10 says. We have need of endurance, and we need to learn to wait on the Lord. We need to learn to be patient. Because you'll find at the end that you will, who you really will be. Because we don't know to the end, folks. I mean, you can know by faith, but you don't know. I mean, 1 John tells us we can have assurance. We don't deny that. But at the same time, I mean, we will not know the final decree until the end. So it makes us all have a sense of Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, ordained of the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. For he shall, though he fall, now do you think it's possible for a Christian to fall? Apparently it is. Because we're finding a lot of times that you will go through things, and sometimes you'll fall, and you might give up on something. And if you do that, then you find yourself in a problem. But he says here, goes on and says, for the Lord will uphold him with his right hand. And I believe the Lord will uphold us. Because when a man shall fall seven times, but the Lord will raise him back up. When a man falls, the Lord always comes to us and tries to convict us and encourage us to stand up and to continue in the race. Don't give up. Because one key thing here is just don't give up. Stay in the battle. Wait and be patient, because God is not finished yet. You're waiting for somebody to change. You're waiting for something to happen. You're waiting for somebody to be saved. You're waiting for whatever you're waiting for. But just be this one thing in your mind, that God is in control and God is working. It might seem like he's doing nothing, but like he told Habakkuk, I'm going to give you a vision and write this down. And he that is coming will not tarry. But wait. Wait. Just remember that next time you want to give up or stop. Just think about, wait, don't do it now. Wait till tomorrow. I mean, before you make a decision, wait on it a while. Think about it. Pray about it. And wait. Because out of that, God will bring good out of it if you will apply that principle in your life. I believe he will. I've seen it happen many times. I mean, you know, when Jesus prayed for Peter, he prayed that, you know, that he would not, his faith would not fail. He didn't pray that, you know, you're going to deny me. I just pray that your faith not fail. And that's the one thing that we got the high priest praying for us, that we might be saved to the uttermost. And that's a good thing, because we got a high priest up on the throne of God, Jesus Christ, our very advocate, who's interceding for us to be saved to the uttermost. God is not against us, he is for us. And so when you trip up, God wants to lift you up. When you want to quit, God wants you to stay in the race. When you don't want to wait, God says, I want you to hold on and wait. Wait a little longer. You say, it's been long already. A little bit longer. Another few days, another week, just wait. And see what happens out of all that, because God will always bring us through. So if your patience was on trial, which it is, would you be found guilty? I hope I would. And hope you would be too. So whatever it is you're waiting for, folks, don't give in. Because it is on trial. And I believe we're all guilty somewhere, fashion or form, of not waiting from the things we talked about, whether it's just simple things of life. You're waiting for your teenager to get ready. You're waiting for your wife at a shopping store. You're waiting in a line, or whatever it may be you're going through. You're waiting for something. And you know what? We have a tendency to get impatient. And when we get impatient, we get hasty. And it robs us of our joy and our peace It robs us of our victory. And God doesn't want us to lose the victory. Amen? Okay, would you bow your hearts with me? Father, we pray specifically for all of us here this morning. That, Lord, you would work in us this patience, this waiting, this willingness and desire to wait on you and your timing for everything that we do. That we would learn the lesson well. That we would learn to be quiet and not murmur, be discontent, or complain. But that we'd be silent and wait and pray, trusting in you, Lord God, that you are working things out. Whatever it may be that we're going through, whatever it is we're waiting for. And we know, Lord God, that the tribulation that we're going through is supposed to work patience in our life. That we might be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And we know this is a long process, but we are thanking you for it. That we know that, Lord, you are for us, not against us. And that you're working in us a deeper ability and grace to be able to be patient and to wait. Not to be so quick to jump to conclusions. Or to be discontent. And we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing, that you'll give us the grace to work it out with fear and trembling. And we pray for your people, Lord God, that they would have the wisdom they need to be able to witness and to live the Christian life and to show their patience by their actions. And we thank you, Lord, that you are doing this and you will continue to do it. To bring glory to your name, in Jesus' name.